Yeah, Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben, come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown, come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
Yeah, right, and he's got the front door. He's with us right now, sitting in his palatial property in Dubbo in Central West New South Wales. Good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning, mate. How are you?
I'm very, very good. Ron Hanafy is the president of the National Road Freighters Association. We talk trucking news every Tuesday morning. 133353 is the telephone number. He's got a lot he wants to talk about this morning. But, Rod, question, and I may have asked you this before. Got a phone call last night from one of our trucking listeners who gave me a heads up about an accident that happened on the M1. Near the Karura turnoff north of Sydney last night. And it was a truck that had overturned. It was yet again another B-double. I haven't heard if the driver's okay. I hope so. There were no ambos there last night, but let's hope the driver was okay. But, Rod, I get a lot of callers from around Australia overnight giving me a warning, giving me a heads up about road closures and trucks that have come to grief. Now, I don't know if there are statistics that you can help me find over the next 7 days, but it seems to me that most of the truck accidents that are reported to me are B-doubles tipping over. I don't know if that's just a coincidence, but what can you explain this?
Well, the first point is that B-double is the most popular combination on the Australian roads. It has been for probably near 15 years now, and it's that simply is, that there are more B-doubles on the road. For us, it's nearly unusual to see a single. Certain tasks, certain jobs, they use singles, but the vast majority of the fleet is B-doubles.
So there's more of them. That would account for it. I just wondered, are B-doubles more likely, more prone to tipping over? Are they not being loaded up properly? Is the weight not distributed? I don't know. It seems to me that most of the truck accidents reported on the night shift are B-doubles.
Mate, there are two things to it. Once, years ago, if in Queensland you drove a B-double and you had your back trailer loaded and your front trailer empty, that was technically illegal. They removed that law because I actually asked to get that law made national. And what happens is if you load the back trailer, it's got all the weight on the wheels, yeah, but then you've got no weight on your drive. That can be a problem. Mm. And look, there were some accidents caused by that. Now they just fine you as driving an unroadworthy vehicle. But on the other side of that, there is just simply more now because everybody uses them. They are effective. And look, they are dynamically safer than a single because you are covering a bit of road. If you've got one dip, it could throw the truck away, but generally the other trailers are still on good roads, so they are normally better for handling and for dynamics than a single semi.
Well, it was just an observation. I thought I'd share it with you because, once again, last night, Pacific M1,
yep,
north of Sydney, another truck had rolled over. What was it? It was a B-double. 133353 is the telephone number. We're talking this morning about young drivers and more of them are learning to drive on automatics. Interesting statistic out of the Courier Mail yesterday, Queensland. Rod, Queenslanders, young kids, they are ditching the clutch. Only 41% of licences granted last financial year were for manual drivers. So the automatic drivers are taking over. I'm not surprised. They're easier to learn on. You haven't got to worry about, obviously, changing gears, but doing hill starts, which we had to do. Reverse parallel parking up a hill. Yeah, you haven't got a clutch to worry about. It's a lot easier to just sit there and steer. But are you a safer and better driver if you learn on a manual? Your opinion is valued here this morning.
Again, in a car, I don't think it's as critical as the difference in a truck. we've certainly seen a change in the ability of drivers who have come into truck driving and only driven autos, because they then don't recognize that what they do in the truck and how they behave affects the load. You are dealing with something that's a lot bigger and heavier. In a car, I don't think it would have a great deal of difference to the actual ability of young people to drive. As you say, when they first get their license, they are trying to juggle a whole heap of things together. And if they can learn that easier and simpler, that's better.
But we juggled
it. Though,
we juggled.
I think it's got VAR.
I learned on a manual car.
We did.
Dad's Toyota Corona station wagon that, incidentally, 3 years later, I bought off him for $3,000 and $300 interest. So I bought the car that I learned on. It was a four-speed manual, didn't have an overdrive, didn't have power windows, didn't have power steering, didn't have ABS brakes. So maybe compared to today's modern cars, very unsafe. But it was a manual. And I believe it put me in tune with my vehicle better than an automatic can.
I agree. You look at people in a motorsport, you know, for years and years, those that went to the extreme lengths of motorsport all had manuals. Even they now are changing. And yes, they're in the trucks. Look, my boss says at one stage, he said, you've changed enough gears. It's one less thing to contribute to your fatigue. If he can put in an auto instead of a manual, and that gives you more capability to drive with less fatigue and less issues, then he thinks it's worthwhile. Now, for those of us that have changed a million gears already, okay, you've got that behind you. Will it make a difference to the future? Yes, more in trucks than cars. And at some stage, Blake, I'm sure you agree, perhaps in 5 years' time, there's going to be that few manuals about, because they're going to take over autonomous cars, and the autonomous cars are going to rely on the autos because they won't be able to use a manual.
All electric cars are going to be automatic. There's no transmission. Mm. So the future is saying automatic.
Yes, that's where it's going to go. And like anything, mate, we can't control those things. You've got to sit back and go with the flow and make the most out of it.
133353, what do you make of it? Does driving a manual make you a better and safer driver? Or has the future taken over? Is it out of our hands? Is it too late? 133353 is the telephone number. Rod, your hot topic for the day?
Friday night, both Victoria and South Australia are now requiring proof of at least one vaccination. I had a specific request from Freight Victoria that was I aware of any issues. Supposedly, some of the blokes that have already responded to that question on the COVID Central 19 Facebook page have said it hasn't changed, but we know that in the future there is going to be more policing of it. We know that it will change. I'll be on the road next week at this stage. I'm not necessarily looking forward to that, but my aim is to sort of look at the sites and how we're treated in those places, keep a bit of a record of them, and I just wonder if anybody as yet has had any issues with having to prove their vaccinations, how they're doing it, and whether it's come up as a problem as yet.
So it was as of when? Midnight last night?
No, Friday night.
You said
23rd.
You said 24th. Friday night. Just again, what are the rules?
That you must have proof of at least one jab to enter into both Victoria and South Australia. You've still got to have your rolling 3 days if you've been in a hotspot to go into Victoria. Otherwise, you've got to have 7. But at this stage, that's the first state. South Australia did try and do it a couple of times and backed off. Queensland tried it and backed off. But these other two have gone through, and it's the next step in just another layer of bureaucracy and making it harder for us to comply.
133353 is the telephone number. Choppy, one of our regulars, part of the Night Shift family, has joined us. He wants to talk to you. G'day, brother. What's going on?
You
okay?
I'm just pulling up. How are you, Rod?
Yeah, good, mate. Self?
Oh, fantastic, mate. You gave you a good induction. You should have heard it. He's not bad, the old
good fella. Introduction.
Well, there's nothing.
No. He does a good job there.
There's an old saying, there's nothing like a good introduction. And that was nothing like a good introduction. Choppy, what's your question? What's your thoughts? What did you want to comment on?
Well, just a little bit of a story, actually. I was travelling, left Thursday night, Sydney, got to Queensland on Saturday, had to go through the border, of course, through Tweed Heads, which they diverted the trucks after a certain time. Got there, had a COVID test 4 days prior to that. Wasn't allowed through because I came out of Botany, and he said, the policeman said, it has to be 72 hours because it's a hot spot. And it wasn't a hot spot at all. And I said to him, it's not a hot spot. And he said, yes, it is. You have to go and get another test. Okay, fine. I had to drive all the way back to Ballina to have a test, which is an hour down the road and back again. So that's 2 hours loss of time. I come back. He's now knocked off. And the guy said, yeah, no worries, mate. No, I only showed him the 4 day one. Now, it was just absolutely ludicrous. Yeah.
The first copper says, no, you must go back. Hour there, hour back, waiting time, tested, come back. That first copper's gone. The second one says, oh, don't worry about it.
That's right.
Oh, jeez.
You only had to show that you had the test, not the actual result.
Rod?
Yeah, and look, that varies again.
By the way, Choppy, can you turn your indicator off?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Keep going. Rod, your thoughts?
I was trying to read the fine print today, and it does differ depending on where you've come from. Now, Victoria treat all of New South Wales as a red zone, even though it's only been those suburbs in Sydney that have been nominated by other states and accepted as a red zone. Victoria treat the whole of New South Wales as a red zone, so when you go in there, it's 3 days anyway, not seven. Queensland are a little bit different, and yes, it does depend on you have to show two things. You have to show that you had one done in the last 7 days and a result from that. You've got to have at least one negative result within the last seven. But then from reading what I did today, your three-day one, as you say, you only have to show that you've been for the test. But you've got to back that up with a result from the last 7 days. And that's why we had that six-point plan, mate. We want one set of rules that makes it easier for us to comply, and we're still hoping that we can get some traction on that.
Oh, good. That's good. Now, the other thing is, are they going to mandate that the truck drivers have at least one jab, or both of them, or what?
Well, it's mandatory by default. If you can work within a state and you don't want to cross the border, well, then you can keep working. But how many of us as interstate drivers can do that? So it's mandating it by default.
Do you think that's fair?
If you want to cross the border, you've got to have the jab.
As presidents of the Road Freighters Association, is it fair to mandate a vaccination?
Well, of course, their answer to that is they're not mandating it. They're only doing it if you cross the border. And their answer is get another job. Well, that's easy for them to say. So we can't say that that's what they're doing. But it's being done by default.
Yeah. Okay, Choppy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm over this COVID thing. I really am.
It's we all are, so mate. Annoying. We all are.
You know, you don't know whether you're coming and going half the time, do you, Rob?
I know. We all are.
No. They're not making it easier.
And you know what makes it frustrating? They keep changing the rules. You actually don't know what playing field you're on. They keep changing the goals. Where will we all be at Christmas? If you've got relatives in Queensland and you live in New South Wales, are you going to be together for the first time in 2 years? We don't know.
Oh, well, my son and I have separated. I can't even talk to him. He won't even talk to me because I haven't had a jab.
You were saying that last week. I can't believe that. This is where this whole vaccination thing is. This is not necessarily a trucking issue, Rod, but we were talking about it with Kayleen Wynn, who, Rod, as you know, is our resident psychotherapist, psychologist. She's wonderful, a best-selling author. And, Rod, we were talking about how the COVID rules, the vaccination rules, are dividing families and friends. And there are workplaces who are sending out emails warning people, be careful of the language that you use within the workplace. Because if you say to someone, well, you're vaccinated? And they say, no, why not? Arguments start, and it's dividing families and it's dividing friends. Kayleen actually heard you on the air last week, Choppy, and she thought it was just so sad, and it's typical of what's happening. Choppy's not allowed to see his granddaughter because he's not vaccinated. Now, some people will say that's fair enough. Other people will say, well, see, it's dividing families, it's dividing friends.
Yes, what do you do, mate? What do you do? And look, that's the thing. I did have a discussion, and I raised this in the meeting with Freight Victoria last week, and they said, well, what about the health workers? You know, they've had to do their three-day testing and all that as well. And I said, that's fine. They operate in that environment. They operate at a hospital. They operate at a medical center. They operate in a home where they can get a test by walking around the corner. We are trying to find places to do that in B doubles. We are doing it by still managing logbook hours, and we are doing it when not everybody is there to work our hours. So we are the only group dealing with it the way we are. We recognise those people that are doing the test for us. We recognise all of the people that have done a marvellous job in keeping things going. We are the only ones that are out there with the public trying to deal with all these rules and cross borders at the same time.
Yeah. Good on you, Chubby. Thanks for your call, buddy. Drive safely, mate.
You too, brother.
Oh, one quick question. Are you a better driver if you learn on a manual?
Mate, I learned on an FC Holden 3 on the column. And you learn to listen to the motor when you need to change the gears, and that puts you in touch with the vehicle. These kids that are driving automatics these days put their foot down, don't give a shit, and go like that out of hell.
Yeah, it puts you in tune with the vehicle. They were exactly my words earlier on. Good on you, buddy. Talk soon. 133353. Rod Hanafy's with us, the president of the National Road Freighters Association. This is the Night Shift on Triple M. We call Tuesdays here on the Night Shift Rod Hanafy Days because he is the president of the National Road Freighters Association. We talk trucking and road safety. Tony's online for you, Rod. Tony, good morning. What's up?
G'day, mate. I just wanted to talk to Rod about the Guardian cameras. A bit more concerned about them lately.
All right, yes. Okay, in what way, mate?
Mate, I want to know, I'm not a member of a union, and I'm in a pretty big yard, but because of the culture background, there's a lot of people that don't want to be involved in the union, but I just want to know, mate, whether or not these Guardian cameras have the capability for the owner to be able to just open up the camera whenever they like to be able to see what the driver's up to.
Okay, before Rod gets back, the Guardian cameras, these are the computer systems that are in trucks. I know all Coles trucks have them. Is this the stuff that looks at your face? It can tell when you're sleepy, it shakes your seat. Is that the sort of thing we're talking about?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, a little bit. They're brilliant when they need to work. I've had to use it. You know, it's helped me out. You know, but I just think they're maybe being misused with the company that I work with.
You think that you're being spied on? Is it an invasion of privacy? It's a term of agreement with your employment that you work with these things. There are plenty of arguments, Rod, that I hear from Truckee saying that they're great, that they do save lives. One bloke rang me just last week and said his Guardian setup had woken him up a couple of times. Mind you, it goes straight to head office, and they know that if you constantly having these things wake you up because they think you're driving off the road, you can get into trouble, or you have to be retrained. But Rod, your thoughts?
Mate, my understanding is, of course, if you have an agreement in place, as you say, with your employer that allows them, then they have the right to put them in. It was challenged early on. If it's not in your EBA or your employment agreement now, my understanding is that they can't put them in. They've got to get your permission. And I have had reports.
Yeah, but if you don't give permission, you probably won't have a job.
Yeah, look,
that's a possibility. That's where it's going.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and look, I've had reports
on you.
I've had reports of people say that something has come up that they shouldn't have done. As you say, they're only supposed to activate at those times when you are deemed to be fatigued.
Yep.
But my understanding is they can be turned on. How you prove that, mate, and then what agreement you have and how that operates within the company, they're fairly big questions to answer.
Yeah, there's just a couple of occasions where a driver was caught smoking in the cab, and yeah, you're not supposed to smoke in the cab, but when you're driving, you know, interstate drunk driving, it's pretty hard to stop them from doing that. He was caught in to dispute that, and while he went in there into the office, the safety coordinator had the cameras open with me driving. Yeah, so caught red-handed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tony, explain. So a guy got caught smoking in the cabin by the Guardian camera. Then what happened?
Then he was called up to go and see the safety coordinator.
Yeah.
To discuss it and given a formal written warning.
Yeah.
And while he was up there, when he walked in, there was me on the screen being monitored to see what I was up to. And he said, "What are you doing that for, mate?" And he said, Oh, it must have an alert. And then he said, "No, mate, Anthony, he would tell you straight away if he was feeling tired or the camera went off or whatever. He's very safety conscious. What are you doing, you know?"
Rod, is it an invasion of privacy? Well, before you answer that, Rod, we have security cameras right throughout this building. You can't go anywhere or do anything here at Triple M Central. There are security cameras everywhere. I know that. I'm fully aware of them. I don't feel like I'm being watched. I've got cameras here in the studio. One's looking at me now. I don't know who's on the other end of it. But it doesn't bother me, Rod, because I've got nothing to hide. Is that a fair comment?
No, you've given them a terminology. They are a security camera. They are there to give you security. You're in a building on your own. They are there to protect you and record something that might go wrong. We're in a different situation where you're out on the road and, yes, you live in that truck. Now, you don't want one in your bedroom, you don't want one in your kitchen, and you don't have one there, and you don't need security like that. But you know, where they are there to protect you, and look, they will protect you if you are doing the right thing. They will hang you if you are doing the wrong thing. But do you want one in your bedroom, Luke? And that's if you're living in that truck for six days a week, that's another step altogether.
Very good point.
It's over the top, really. It's to the point where the driver feels like they're going to be distracted by, you know, finding out, thinking that they're checking on you every second, what you're doing. And, mate, we have to keep our eyes on the road. These things go off with just scratching the back of your head or, you know, something like that. And they become annoying if they're not set up right. But they will save your life. They've helped me out twice. So I can't complain about them.
But let's talk about it. It's a very, very good point, Tony. Thank you so much for bringing it up. Well done.
Thanks, mate.
It's a very good point, Rod Hanafy. Is this an intrusion? Because your truck cabin, sure, it's your workplace, but it's also your bedroom.
Well, yes, but that guy, my kitchen.
But that guy should not have been smoking. I'm not allowed to smoke here.
That's the rule. It's an enclosed space.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he knew what the rules were.
133353, if you want to comment on that. Plenty to talk about, Rod. You got a lot of people there. We'll get back to them in just a second. You know, you may have heard those ads for Highway Advocates. Rod, you actually put me on to Highway Advocates and Robert Bell.
Yeah, mate, I actually had a bloke come to me today and he had an issue, and it was the first thing I suggested to him. I said, ring them up and get their advice. And I'm sure that a lot of us are not bush lawyers. We're not even road transport lawyers, and it is a very complex issue. And we've discussed, if you've got a logbook with 30 pages of instructions, nothing is that simple. So if you can't work it out and you get yourself into a position where you get a ticket and you don't think it's fair and reasonable, you should certainly contact them to get their advice.
I'm telling you now. So there's Adam Cockayne, there's Robert Bell, and they join me, just like Rod Hanafy is now, every Thursday. So if you need legal advice, your first contact with Highway Advocates is free. And you can ring them on Thursday morning at 1 o'clock, just like you can with Rod here. They help truckies avoid fines, demerit points, and convictions. And they can appear on your behalf in any court in Australia, any court in Australia. Don't wait for a knock on the door. That's the thing, Rod, isn't it? That's what Robert Bell keeps saying. Don't wait for the knock on the door. Don't wait. Don't start avoiding phone calls. Knock it on the head straight away. Highway advocates, they're there to help you. Robert Bell is an ex-truckie. He's now a paralegal. He understands. He's done the kilometres, folks. He understands. Highway advocates. To find out more, highwayadvocates.com.au. Mike is online for you. Rod Hanafy's with us here on the night shift, president of the Road Freighters Association. Mike, what's your question? Good morning.
How are you, Luke? Rod?
We're good.
Firstly, can I just say to that young driver that was just on, that system in his truck can be his best friend. It's like fatigue management. You've got to learn how to work it. And he'll be fine.
Yes. Are you dealing with it at the moment?
Yep. I don't have a problem with it. It can be your best friend, but if you make a mistake, it's going to let you know that, you know. So that's the way of the future. Yes. That's how it's all going. But what I wanted to talk about was this one jab to get into this state and that state. I mean, we're all sick of coronavirus, but I honestly think it's going to be here for 3 or 4 years. Like everyone says, we got 800 people today. We tested 34,000. Okay, well, what's the population of Sydney?
Six and a bit.
How many? Right, so...
A bit over 6 million.
I reckon they'd get over 100,000.
Oh, when they open the borders, when they get to 80 or 90% vaccinations and they say, okay, let's open the borders, the cases will go up. We know that. But the science is saying, yes, the cases will go up, but the people that will need ICU beds and respirators will go down.
Well, that's not going to happen because by then this thing would have recreated itself into
a... I'm going to talk to Brad McKay about that later this morning. Yes, like the flu, it may well reinvent itself. There may be another strain after Delta, and it may or may not be more aggressive. So like the flu, we will probably need a booster. And I was reading today, Mike, that the booster may well be something you sniff up your nose.
Sounds like a great night out.
I was going to say something about young rugby league players, but I'll keep going.
Yeah, no. Don't go there. He's already paid for that. We've got all these testing places. Like, there's one at Ballina, there's one at Taree, there's one going into Melbourne. The one going into Melbourne's the most dangerous thing I've ever seen set up on the crest of a hill at traffic. Travelling at 100 kilometres an hour, try and pull out of that in a beat hole. It's fun. Why can't we set up a jab centre in one of these things where drivers can come in off the road, not take a B-double into the local medical centre, get a jab, and continue on? It can't be that hard to organise.
Two things, and I have asked that question. One, you're aware, of course, that some people do have a reaction to the jab, don't know what that percentage is. Some blokes virtually just go straight past it and don't have a problem at all. Others have had a severe reaction that night or a couple of days later. So that's something we've got to consider. Do you get the jab and just head up the highway? How do you arrange and cover for that? And, of course, their answer is that they are struggling with staff to do it. There is the number and there are red zone sites available for truck drivers in Melbourne. But the other thing is, do you need that many people? And the sites that they've chosen are certainly not the best ones for it. They're not the best for getting the inspection done, let alone get a jab. They need somewhere a lot bigger. And I put forward the idea of the BP at Barnawatha, the BP at Charlton that Queensland were using. There's plenty of room there. That's worked successfully. But I've certainly put that forward. And they are looking at it, but they haven't given us an affirmative answer yet.
No, right. Well, I just think it's a simple solution to a simple problem.
Yeah.
But I understand there's a policing problem and a staff problem, and most of the testing centre staff, they're over it, they're sick of it, and unfortunately a few of the drivers are getting abusive because they're over it. It naturally brings on a chain.
And that doesn't help anybody.
No.
People are becoming very fractious. People are at the end of their tether, aren't they?
Oh, look, I know people that have lost their whole lives work, their house, their business, everything. I mean, everyone's over it, but it's not going anywhere. We need to get used to the fact that this coronavirus is not going anywhere. It's here to stay for a long time, I think.
You know, there's a story out of Melbourne I was going to bring up later. Michael and Rod, have a listen to this. I'll just find it. If you've heard this story, let me know. But there was a couple in Melbourne and they were out having a coffee. And they were out sitting at a table. And they had their masks on. And two anti-vaxxer, anti-maskers came up to them and started abusing them, saying, why are you wearing a mask? You're encouraging the government to keep us in lockdown. You're keeping us prisoners. They attempted to rip the couple's masks off and proceeded to cough on them. I'm not kidding. Did you hear about this?
I didn't.
People are going mad. Hang on, here it is. A pair of suspected coronavirus deniers have been charged with allegedly assaulting two women having a picnic with their children. A pair of suspected coronavirus deniers have been charged for allegedly attacking the women having a picnic with their kids in Melbourne's East. A man and a woman from Box Hill North were charged after the incident in which a dog was allegedly set upon the two people having the picnic in a park in Blackburn North on Thursday afternoon. The 44-year-old man is charged with two counts of willfully urging a dog to attack. They both were granted bail. According to one of the mums, Jacqueline, they were trying to rip our masks off. They were telling us that we were afraid of the cold, and then they tried to cough on us. One woman was allegedly put in a chokehold. The 45-year-old man's accused of setting a dog on the woman. It took good Samaritans to intervene. What?
I mean, that should be a mandatory 6-month sentence.
What's going on?
Well, people, that's what I'm saying. People are just going stupid. They're going mental.
Yeah.
Absolutely going mental about shit that's just irrelevant. Let's just all get vaccinated and get on with life and try and deal with this the best we can without taking to each other.
Yeah. I don't think we'll be flying overseas this year.
I don't think we'll be flying overseas for maybe 18 months, 2 years.
Who knows?
Qantas have put a big ad out there going in December, and they're going to be flying empty because most people don't have the money left to afford an overseas holiday.
Yeah, and
there
just
was a post earlier by a bloke who, when he went to war, they had to have 21 vaccinations over 2 days to go and fight for our country. And here people are whinging about having two jabs to supposedly reduce the impact of this virus. Now, I'm not a doctor, but you've got to get things in some sort of perspective. And the perspective those people had in attacking women and children is just nowhere near real. It's just ridiculous. Why would you do that to anybody's kids?
The guy allegedly set his dog on them. They allegedly... It's before the courts, I can't mention their names, but they tried to rip their masks off and cough on them.
Why would you do that?
What's
assault, for a start, and they should be jailed. They should do something.
Well, we'll leave it there, see what happens. I'll keep an eye on it and see what happens in court.
But, Luke, when this is all over, you do a lot with trucks on your show, I'm going to throw it out there, come for a trip in a V-double.
Oh, Rod, how often have you asked me, Rod?
Yes, I've certainly suggested it, mate, and it does make a difference. And probably even Jess, we'll get Jess to come along. She might.
No, you don't want Jess anywhere near your.
A different life.
You do not want Jessica Issa anywhere near your steering wheel.
Double in 20 minutes.
Hey, Mike, lovely to talk. Can I send you something, Mike?
No, but I want to say one thing that you missed the other night on Dangerous Animals.
Okay, go on.
It's the most venomous animal in Australia.
Can I have a rethink? What was it? Was it a snake?
No, they're so venomous, and the more time you spend around them, they get even more worse and more unpredictable.
Yeah, your wife.
The ex-wife.
Yeah. See, now we can't say that because now we'll be in trouble for being misogynistic.
I don't care.
Hell hath no fury. Mike, your comments, not mine, okay?
Yeah, oh, mate, I'm happy to make him too.
Your call, not mine. I'll get in trouble now. See you, Mike. Bye-bye. I better let him go before I get dragged before some sort of a tribunal. 133353 is the telephone number. Blake's online from Taree. Blake, go ahead. Where are you, Blake? Talk to me. Hang on. Yeah, I thought this was going to happen. My phone box has been playing up. It's been going slow all morning. And I got a funny feeling it's locked up on me again. I'll play some music and we'll come back and see if we can't fix this. To those callers on hold, we do apologise. There's a little technical issue. We had it on Monday morning with our phones. They're desperately trying to work on it so that I can talk to you again soon. But Rod Hanafy, these things are sent to try us. Well, we're trying to work on our phone system right now. You've got a million calls there. You'd be here until daylight if you took every call that you've got. Rod Hanafy, you have got your Swift Grow. You live in Dubbo. 5 hours west of Sydney, hard, unforgiving, red native soil. And you're a keen gardener. You've received your amazing organic fertiliser, Swift Grow. Give us an update.
Mate, the thing that has stood out is the number of buds on the fruit trees. Now, I've had those fruit trees for a little while, and yes, you get a few buds on them, but since I put the Swift Grow on, the buds have just gone berserk, mate, the growth. And geez, I'm looking forward to a big fruit season. So now I'm going to have to put some more on to make sure the fruit gets going and all grows through.
Now, just promise me that you took before photos so we can see the after photos. Did you do that?
Mate, I did. Yes. I've got a beautiful one of the Valencia orange tree with just as it started to shoot, and it's gone berserk.
This is, see, now, Rod, when you get your Swift Grow, go and get some black molasses or some treacle. Golden syrup will do, apparently. You get some molasses and get a tablespoon and dissolve that tablespoon in a litre of warm water. Really dissolve it. Put that into an old Coke bottle or an old drink bottle and put a cap full of that in your 9 litres of Swift Grow, right? So you put two caps of Swift Grow, one cap of your molasses into 9 or 10 litres of water, and it gives it a kickstart. It talks to the bacteria, the natural bacteria in Swift Grow. And Joe, have you spoken to Joe? Have you met Joe?
No.
Oh, haven't. You've got to meet Joe. Joe is the microbiologist scientist that invented Swift Grow.
He's the passion.
Oh, you've got to meet him. He's a wonderful man. Anyway, the deal is, if you purchase 4 litres of Swift Grow, Joe is going to throw in another litre for free. It saves you $29.95. 4 litres, you get one for free. It's for a limited time. SwiftGrow.com.au. If it's green and it grows, you will love Swift Grow. And I can't believe, well, I can actually, but I'm just saying, in Dubbo, harsh soils, that red clay soil, and you're getting these wonderful results. That's fantastic, mate. It's made my day. Something to think about. Today, your hot topic was truckies crossing borders.
Yes. Whether anybody's had a specific issue, we know that the authorities see it as a big change as well, and we hope that they're treating everyone fairly. I'm dealing with Freight Victoria, and they did ask of issues. And where we had that mate there a couple of weeks ago who rang up and tried to book an appointment and couldn't, anybody that has those issues, if they can take note of the time and who they speak to, what number they use, then they are quite prepared to follow up and make sure that those issues don't get any worse and they can be resolved. But we can't do that without the information.
That's right. And remember, if you are in trouble at all, please, highwayadvocates.com.au, the legal firm that's dedicated to helping truckies, highwayadvocates.com.au, and they'll be on the air with me on Thursday morning with Robert Bell and Adam Cockayne. You have a good week, Rod Hanafy. I've got to let you go. I'm sorry to all those callers that want to talk to you, but can I just say, if you are still there, hang on. You will get your time in the limelight this morning. Rod, I'll let you go. Have a great week. Keep trucking and drive safely.